you're following along, be turning to Ezekiel chapter 18. Mason brought this passage to my attention a few weeks back, and I got to reading it. But before I go into reading a few verses here, let me just ask the question, what is justice? What is justice? I probably should also ask, what is divine justice? Now, I wish I didn't have to ask it that way.
Yeah.
But when we say what is justice, automatically, probably all of us have some idea that pops into our minds as to what justice is, and usually it's based upon human reasoning and understanding.
Yes.
Now, justice defined by dictionaries follows like this. This is the way it begins. It is to treat each person equitably and fairly. That's justice. To treat each person equitably and fairly. But even men, now I'm leaving the explanation, now the definition, but even men, knowing humanity somewhat, men put a qualifier to justice. It is not just to treat each person equitably and fairly. It is to treat each person equitably and fairly, giving to each as each is due. That's the human definition of justice. This is justice among men. Now let me ask a question. Has God given to us what we're due?
No, sir.
I don't want it. Psalms 103, mainly verses 10 through 14, says, God hath not dealt with us according to our sins.
Amen.
Now He has dealt with our sins, but He hasn't dealt with us according to our sins.
Amen.
And the truth also stands that God has not dealt with the rest of humanity according to their sins yet. He is long-suffering. And He's long-suffering for the benefit of His people. But even the reprobate reap benefit from that. In that God, in seeking to carry out His sovereign purpose, causes the rain to fall upon the just and the unjust as well. Now, let me say that God's law requires such justice of us. That is, to treat each person equitably and fairly, giving to each person as each person is due. That's what the law requires. You know what the truth is? I can't do that. I can't do that. You see, generally speaking, not always I'm sure, but generally speaking, when we speak of justice, man thinks along this lines. All right, here's a person that lives right, that is doing the best they can to live and be a decent neighbor. To, if they have a job, they try to give a decent day's work for the pay to which they've agreed to. Basically say we're what they call a good person. Now here this person lives most of their life doing what they know to be right and seeking to avoid evil. Yeah. And that person falls into wickedness. That person begins to sin against God. On the other hand, you have another person who has lived the most of their life as a wicked person. They have not sought to love God. They've not sought to love their neighbor. Not even love Him. Let alone love Him as they love themselves.
Exactly.
And that person, somewhere along the line, begins to realize that this life is wicked, life of wickedness is wrong, and Mason, they seek to turn from that. And they begin to try to do what's right. Human justice says that righteous person's righteous deeds must count for something. And all of that wickedness that that wicked person done, even if they do turn from that wickedness and turn to righteousness, that wickedness, somehow that person has to suffer for that wickedness. You know what God says in His book? Right here. Ezekiel chapter 17. Ezekiel chapter 18. God said that's not true.
That's right.
Now, look at what it says. Verse 20. Now there's a lot, there's the context here, but we'll still see what the word says. The soul, verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die.
Amen.
The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live.
Amen.
Have I any pleasure? And the word here means satisfaction.
Yeah.
Have I any pleasure at all? That the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die.
Amen.
That don't sound like the explanation I read to you from Webster's, does it?
Exactly.
Huh?
That's it.
Given to each as each is due. Right?
Yep.
Yet ye say the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal?
Amen.
See, God is a God of mercy.
Yes, sir.
God delights in showing mercy. God delights in showing grace.
Amen.
But what do I do? What do I do? I pick out one of the most wicked people I can think of. And I boast within myself as, boy, I'm glad I don't live like they do.
Yeah.
Huh?
You're right.
I'm glad I don't live like they do. And then we look at some of the most righteous people we can think of, and we think, I'm pretty close to them.
Yeah.
And certainly God has to weigh in the balance this right and this wrong. But let us remember the divine truth that King David said, speaking through prophecy of God Himself, that God delights not in sacrifice,
yes,
but in a broken heart.
Amen.
And a contrite spirit. You see, most people have in their mind, and that includes us, because we're a part of most people. Most people have this idea, I am one of God's because I'm not like everybody else. I'm different than everyone else except for the rest of God's people. According to Scripture, we are of the same lump.
Amen.
Right?
That's it.
We're of the same lump. God says, by way, not ways. Because God don't have ways. That's our problem. We have ways. He has a way.
Amen.
One way. And His way is to do this, to punish sin in everybody.
Sir.
To punish sin in everybody. Does Scripture teach that God treats each person as each person is due? Is that what it actually teaches us? Does each person receive misery, trouble, and hell hereafter? No. The testimony of Scripture is clear. Not everyone's going to perish. Some will be spared. Right? Why are they spared? Because God Almighty in free reigning grace purposed to spare them in spite of themselves.
Amen.
In spite of themselves. Some are saved and others are not. But divine justice is not impinged upon. You know, it's always easier to justify yourself. It's always easier to make yourself feel better about yourself when you pick out somebody that's worse than you are. And I know a couple of you said, yeah, and you're right, that's what we do. But you know how wrong that is? Because in truth, there ain't nobody worse than me. Not a person in this world. Here's something. Would we go up to the drunk and tell the drunk, I don't live like you live? Would you go up to a drunk and say, I don't live like you live? And then go over here to this other person who is nothing more than an unbeliever. Is not the truth still the same? I don't live like you live.
That's it.
Remember what we read last week? That we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be ye not transformed, or be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. You see, the problem with man is not his overt, sinful, immoral deeds. Our problem is our evil, wicked mind. The religious, moral person is just as condemned by God Almighty as the drunkard or the whore or the dopehead. Right? Human justice says that can't be right. Doesn't it? But divine justice is this. God Almighty delights in showing mercy. He's plenteous in mercy. You see, the way I'm to approach people is not, well, I'm different than you are. The way I'm to approach people is God Almighty is different than we are. Were it not for the mercy and grace of God, I would perish and you would perish.
Yes, sir.
That's the way we're to conduct ourselves toward men. I mean, I think of all those years. I heard a fellow say this one time. He said, Christ preached more about hell than he did about heaven. And I promised the Lord if he ever let me preach in other places that I'd preach at least one message on hell. And I thought that sounded pretty good back when I was younger than I am now and stupider than I am now. I didn't say I was back when I used to be stuff. I said stupider than I am now. And I began to study and I found out Christ preached more about heaven than he did about hell.
That's right.
So the guy got it wrong. You see, what is amazing is it said that our Lord Jesus Christ was a friend of publicans and sinners.
Amen.
And the people he gave the hardest time to was not the immoral people of this world. It was the self-righteous people of this world.
Yes, sir.
And those of us who know the grace of God need to remember that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need to remember that. I recall writing a letter one day. And finally, God, in His sovereign providence, used two people to let me know that that letter was totally self-righteous. Everything that I wrote in that letter was a fact. But the whole attitude in which I wrote the letter and sent the letter off, David, made it all self-righteous. And God used two people to call me on it. And I had to, in shame, tear up that letter and throw it away. Why? because it's easy to forget that God's ways are equal.
Yes, sir.
And God saves sinners.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
You see, the people we ought to be giving the hard time to are not the sinners. The people we ought to be giving the hard time to are the people caught up in false religion.
Yes, sir.
That's the ones we ought to be reprimanding and rebuking.
Exactly.
Justice is honored whether God saves a person or damns a person.
Exactly.
Now, I don't always feel this way, but there's been times when I've had to look at someone else, and though I feel myself to be different than they are, I don't think like they think, I don't conduct myself like they conduct themselves, I don't live like they live, but I can't find any hope in that. I cannot find acceptance with God in that. Because the more I've sought to look to that as some sense of peace and solace, the more corrupt my soul becomes to me. And I find out that, and I can relate to what the prophet says, that even my righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight.
Amen.
Now, a fact is this: it's easy for me to stand up here and preach this stuff to you all. You know that? It's a harder thing to go out there in the world and live it. Because we can say what we will. There are some of us that are more bold than others. There are some of us that are far more outspoken than others. There are some of us that it may even can be said that we feed on controversy. When others want to avoid controversy at all cost, other than leaving the truth of the gospel of Christ. One looks at the other and says, they're weak. And actually, the other looks at that and says, I wish I was as strong as that person was. But the fact is, each one of us, if we are one of God's people, we're exactly where God Almighty ordained us to be at this time.
Yes, sir. Amen.
When the seed falls on good ground, it all brings forth fruit.
Amen.
And it's good fruit.
Yes, sir.
It's good fruit. It is equal fruit. But it's not always the same amount of fruit. Paul warns us, let us not be like other men that judge ourselves based upon ourselves, that look at one another and try to get the standard. Right here's the standard.
Yeah.
Now the problem with Ezekiel chapter 18, I can't live up to that.
Exactly.
If you read that and it scared you, that's good. If you said that confuses me, it's good. It proves what you are: fallen,
exactly.
Depraved, unable. Because the truth is this: if I could live righteously all my life and then make one wicked mistake, what does God say? All of my righteousnesses won't be remembered.
Exactly.
That's what, and God means, if that were to happen, that's true. But here's a wicked man that lives all his life in wickedness. Then he does a righteous thing. What's it say he's going to, what's going to happen for that person?
Yes, sir.
That righteousness would be remembered, would it not?
Yeah.
And all of his wickedness would not be brought up anymore. Now, the problem is, we look at that and say, well, I'm glad I'm not under the law. I'm not talking about law here. Let's talk about God's justice.
Exactly.
Equality. Being even.
Yeah.
God demands either perfection or mercy. That's what this teaches.
Yes, sir.
It's either perfection or mercy. Our God is a merciful God.
Amen.
I remember preaching a funeral. Now I've preached two or three, so I'm not going to tell you which one. Probably all three of them, if truth be told. Four or five of them. And I remember standing there before that group of people, and I remember this one instance because I remember thinking this. While I'm standing there, And I look back upon that crowd of people and I think to myself, well, I'm glad I'm not like they are. If I was out there, I'd probably understand what I'm about to say. But they're probably not going to understand the word I have to say. Do you realize how unequal that is? How much pride is in that? Because as the Apostle Paul says, I am what I am. How? By the grace of God.
Amen.
And if it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be just like that person. I'd be down below that person.
Exactly.
That whore out there on the street selling her body. And most of them are doing it not because they like what they're doing.
Exactly.
Many of them do it out of a sense of necessity, trying to survive. Huh? And I think, well, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be just like that. No, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be worse than that. I would probably be liking it. That's how bad I feel I am. Mason, I would probably like it. I would probably think that's an honorable career. You see, if it were not for the perversity of our minds, I wrote down for the perversity of men's minds. I'd change that. If it were not for the perversity of our minds and our blind hearts, we would perceive that divine justice is of quite a different order and character than human justice. Now, it is justice.
Oh, yeah.
Say, how is it that I can live the majority of my life doing, or at least trying my best to do what's right, and I can mess up and do one thing wrong, and God calls me a lawbreaker? And over here is a lawbreaker. And they turn to God for His mercy. Now they don't turn to God to get be a better person, to be a decent person, to be a holy person, but they turn to God and cry out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And they go down to their house justified.
That's right.
That's what Christ, He went to His house justified. He hadn't done anything good yet. He's a sinner crying out for mercy.
Amen.
And part of me says, that can't be right.
Yeah.
There's a group of people that will say some things, and our Lord never rebukes them for what they say.
No.
He never says they lied about this matter, but they said, Lord, we preached in Your name. We done many wonderful works in Your name. We cast out devils in Your name. And He says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you.
Amen.
And then He turns around and says, the whores are going to go in before folks like that.
Exactly.
Isn't that what He says?
Yes, sir.
The publicans and the sinners, the harlots, they go into the kingdom of God before you.
Amen.
Now when Scott Richardson mentioned that verse and he says, I used to be prayed up, packed up, and ready to go.
Yeah.
He said, the boat's been shaking a little along the way. And right there's a good reason why.
Yes, sir.
You think those people live like everybody else did? Most people don't do that, do they? Do most people preach in Christ's name? Do most people do many wonderful works in Christ's name? Do most people try to cast out demons in Christ's name? No, the majority of people don't. But all of those people will perish. Right?
Yeah.
Something doesn't sound equal here. It is equal. Because divine justice has been satisfied on all accounts.
Yes, sir.
Either the sinner will die in their sins, or the sinner has been died for by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Either way, death will be carried out.
Yes,
either way, judgment will be meted out. Either way, justice will be satisfied. You see, divine justice is of a different order and character, just like human justice and divine justice, or human justice and divine justice are of a different order and character, just like human love and divine love is. You know what human love does, don't you? Human love finds it easy to love those that love them back. Doesn't it? But human love finds it impossible to love those that hate them.
Yeah.
those that are not like them.
Yeah.
Those that despise everything that this person, I stand for.
Yeah.
And yet the fact is, God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And not only were we sinners, we were sinners of the worst kind. We were sinners at enmity against God.
Exactly.
We hated God. You know, God doesn't take human love and turn it toward Himself.
That's right.
This is what many people think.
Yeah.
That whatever love is in me, then God takes that love and turns it toward Christ. If I love Christ with human love, it is as if I never loved Him at all.
Exactly.
Because human love is self-centered, fickle, and selfish. I will not love you unless you love me back. Here's what human love says. I won't love you because you embarrass me.
Yeah.
Huh? I won't love you because you embarrass me. How much of an embarrassment are we by nature? Not only are we an embarrassment, we are an offense to our God. Yeah. We are a rotten smell in His nostrils by nature. When it all boils down to it, God is the Creator and we are the creatures. And God will form us exactly like He wants us.
Yes, sir.
And it would be good for each and every one of us to remember that. That includes everybody.
Exactly.
And it includes that religious person.
Yep.
Right?
Yes, sir.
God Almighty put them right where He intended to put them. There are some people who it says, and we didn't read it. Well, we may have. I read it last week. They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. But it's clear that these people believe the lie of the Antichrist.
Yes, sir.
Right? And anything we find about the Antichrist, while he is Antichrist, while he is anti-God, he's not anti-morals.
That's right.
He's not even anti-righteousness. The ministers of Satan are not anti-righteousness.
Yeah.
Right? They are, as a matter of fact, ministers of righteousness.
Yes, sir.
But it's man's righteousness.
Exactly.
You see, all of my hope rests in, and how can I say it? All of my hope rests in what Jesus Christ did for me, not what Jesus Christ did to me.
Yeah. That's true.
Because Jesus Christ does things to everybody. Some of me hardens.
Yes, sir. That's right.
My only hope is that when Jesus Christ died on that cross, He died for me. That's my hope.
Amen.
That's my only hope. Somebody said, well, I believe. So do the devils.
Yeah.
But I don't believe like they do. No, you don't. You're human. You don't believe like a devil believes. But I've also read of some people that believed on Him and they sought to kill Him.
Yeah.
Somebody just, you know, that just makes it so, it just seems so unstable, so unclear. No, this true believing Christ means I rest on Him. Either He saves me or He damns me. Right? Ask someone why they think they're saved. You know what most people respond? They did something.
Yeah.
Even if it's a good doctrinal statement, I love and believe the truth. That's not good enough.
That's right.
Do you know that? It's not good enough. Now granted, no one loves and believes the truth unless Christ has died for them. Because it's them and them only that love and believe the truth. But that's not the foundation on which my hope stands. It's not my loving and believing the truth. My foundation stands upon when He died on that cross, He took care of my wickedness. He suffered for me.
That's it.
The truth is, I am like every other man and every other woman on the face of this earth. All God has to do, and we use these phrases, take his little finger off, take his finger off of me for a moment. Mason, I don't even know that that truly defines it. All God has to do is leave me to myself in the slightest degree, and my depravity will arise to the highest heights. Or it may lower itself to the lowest low. But the point is, it's still depravity.
Yeah.
You see? I've also found myself saying, boy, I'm glad I'm not like those religious people. And then it's almost like, well, Walter, you're forgetting the hole of the pit from which you digged. Because that's where you were. Mason mentioned something again to me last week. You know that passage, 1 Corinthians, where Paul says, not many wise men, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But there are those who better thank God that it says, not many. Because God could have just as well said, not any.
That's it.
And the truth is, it says God has chosen the base, right? The things that are despised, the things which are not. Yea, these things, God chose these, but he didn't choose all of them. Did he? He didn't choose all of them. Scripture is clear. God Almighty has the absolute right to do with us as he pleases in all respects. He's the potter, according to Romans chapter 9, verse 21. He is the potter, and we are the clay.
Amen.
You remember what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians? I think it's chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. He writes off this list of this morass of ungodliness and unrighteousness, doesn't he? And he says, such were some of you, right?
Amen.
Such were some of you. But the only difference in them is that they have been, and I'm going to have to read it, I can't quote it. Look at what it says. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And it says by, that's the wrong word. It's the same Greek word if used in the first phrase. In the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God. Here he's not talking about anything God Almighty has done to us. He's talking about what all God Almighty has done for us. You know what's amazing? Is the Apostle Paul gives these people more warning about how they're conducting themselves now one toward another than he is about warning them about going back to their former way of life. You know that? Because when God begins to convert the soul, you begin to find a loathing for what you once was. You don't want to go back. The morass, the nastiness, the dirtiness, the filthiness, the unrighteousness, the ungodliness of it all, you do not want to return to that. But you know this, apart from God Almighty, that's my home.
Exactly. That's it.
That's where I live. God never gives us hope based upon we are now not what we used to be. You know that? That's not our hope. The Apostle Paul said of himself, in me, that is in my flesh, used to dwell no good thing. Is that what he said?
What?
No. In me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. And it's worse than that. to will's present with me. But how to perform that which is good is really tough. Is that what he said? No. I find not.
Amen.
This is why when the scripture says there is good, there is none good, no, not one, that includes me right now today.
Yes, sir.
That's not me how I used to be. That's how I still am today. As Walter Pendleton, born of men. You see, God Almighty does exactly as He pleases with everyone, not just the elect. You see, what we seem to forget, it's almost like, well, old bad wicked sinners are going to have to go to hell. And we try to use that as some kind of stick to whack them with.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, hell is God's stick, not mine.
Exactly.
The lake of fire is God Almighty's judgment, not mine.
Exactly.
Me, a worm of the dust going around trying to tell everybody else about how they might go to hell? Have you ever felt this tall when you've ever said it? You see, God Almighty will be glorified in saving people, and He will be glorified in damning people. And if we are truly doing right, we'll thank Him for it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
We're so prone within ourselves to try to find justice somehow in personal human righteousness. And I read it again. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. You see, the Lord is the Lord. He is who He is. What He does is right. If He damns a righteous man for one wicked act, that's His business. He's holy. And if He shows mercy to a wicked man, and listen, yes, I will depart from this based upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's His business. He's just in doing so.
Amen.
Ezekiel 18 is not dealing with the justice of God in the person and work of Christ. Ezekiel 18 is dealing with the justice of God based upon man and man alone. You want justice based upon what you do, you better be perfect.
Yeah.
Or you better fall on your face and seek God's mercy. What injustice is there in God-giving rebels judgment for their rebellion? No matter who they are.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't recognize the magnitude. I know I don't, the magnitude of what James says. If I've kept the law and am guilty in one point,
yes,
I am judged of God as being a lawbreaker. I am guilty of all of it. Well, at least I ain't done that. I've caught myself saying that. Well, at least I'm not living that way. You ever caught yourself doing that? Huh? Let me tell you, we all would if we thought it was advantageous to us. You know, we like to point to the really bad folk. You know, especially the ones locked up in prison. Killed 3 or 4 people. Huh? Here's a stunning thought. And I know most people would just, no way. We would all put Jeffrey Dahmer to shame if we thought it was advantageous to us. And you know who Jeffrey Dahmer was, don't you? He was a homosexual that killed young boys and then boiled and ate their bodies. David, I'm that bad. And worse.
That's it.
And worse. Mankind is so bad that at one time God Almighty wiped out the whole human race except for 8 people.
Amen.
That's not how we used to be. That's how we still are.
Exactly.
We haven't gained one step in righteousness. You know, and a fellow wrote, I forget his name now. I heard Tim James mention he wrote a booklet on something like Christ is All. And he said, you know when we need Christ? When we've done bad. when we've done wrong, when we sinned against God, that's when we need Christ. And you know, most of us say, amen, right? But you know when we also need Christ?
Yeah.
When we've done good.
That's right. Yes, sir.
When we've done what's right. We need Christ then as well.
Yes, sir.
Because again, I'll quote it, that even our righteousnesses, it didn't say our unright, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. You know, I don't want to be as merciful as God is. You know that? I mean, that's I can't. I'm not even striving for that, Joe. I'm not striving to be as merciful as God is. I just want to be merciful to others who are just like I am.
Exactly.
And I don't accomplish that very often.
Yeah.
I don't accomplish that. You see, we see God's justice revealed in God choosing one and God rejecting another. Both of them are God's justice.
Yes, sir.
That's the whole thing. Somebody said, boy, those old reprobates, they go get God's justice. We did too in Christ. God's justice was carried out in Christ.
Exactly.
You see, God has found complete satisfaction for my sin and my sins in Christ. Complete satisfaction. That, what is it? Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Now you read that and compare that to Proverbs where God says, when your calamity comes, I'm going to mock.
That's right.
Most people read that and think, oh, God's just wishing they weren't judged. That's not what He said. Even when a wicked man dies in his wickedness, God is not satisfied. That's why the wicked must suffer forever. Divine justice is being satisfied.
Yeah.
But the difference between that and being in Christ is that divine justice has been satisfied. Now let me read this passage. It's a familiar one. And I'll quit, and God willing we'll partake of this or the table. Romans chapter 5, it says, for when we were yet without strength,
yes,
there is no need for interpretation here. There's no need for, well, here's what this means.
Yeah.
There was a time when we were what? Yet without strength. So how much strength did we have?
Yeah.
Zero. Right? Yeah. It doesn't say when we were weak. It says, and when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Why don't we talk to the ungodly? It may be Christ died for you.
Exactly.
Why don't we tell them, listen, it may be that there's hope for you. You know, what do we want to do? Because we have this sense of human justice. God's going to get you. Don't we? Right? That's the way we do. In due time, Christ died for who? The ungodly. I've got to, if I want to say Christ died for me, what place do I have to take?
Exactly.
I'm ungodly.
Amen.
Well, He didn't die for not one nary righteous person.
That's
exactly.
Did He?
Not one. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. And Paul is speaking here relative to what? Not God, but among men. There are some righteous people in this world when you compare people to people.
Yep.
There are some good people in this world when you compare people to people, but that don't mean diddly squat when it comes to God.
Exactly.
That's the whole point. It's not, well, at least I ain't went that far. No, I've went far enough.
Yeah.
That's my problem. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, what did Christ do? He died for us.
Amen.
You see, our message ought to be Christ died for sinners.
Yes, sir.
Not Christ is out to get sinners. Right? Now let me tell you, that's what the mass of Arminian preachers are doing. God's out to get you sinners. And because God's out to get you, you better turn around and start living right, and maybe that God won't get you.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
That's their message. Our message is Jesus Christ died for sinners.
Amen.
Are you a sinner? There's hope for you then.
Exactly.
Much more then. Now here's the thing. See, it's even more than just being a sinner, Joe. Mm-hmm. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Why? Because if, or for if when we were, not just sinners, we were sinners, but what? For if when we were what? Enemies. We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. You see, if someone had come up to me years ago and told me, you're going to hell, if I am right, and who I think I am in Christ. And I say that only because out of a deep sense of, I don't want to say to brag, oh, I know I'm one of God's. I have reason, Mason, I have a good hope. I have reason to believe that I am one of God's. But let me tell you, those who are God's, you walk up to any one of them and tell them you're going to hell, you dead wrong.
Exactly.
They were never even appointed to wrath. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, chapter, actually chapter 5 said, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That ought to be my message.
Yes, sir.
Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. You see, there's some people walking around out here that are right now, they are actively motivated against God.
Yeah.
Their hearts and minds are set against Jesus Christ. They are His enemies.
Yes, sir.
But God's already reconciled them to Himself by the death of His Son.
Exactly.
Our message ought to be, you better hope you're one. There's hope in being one. There is joy and peace and comfort and, yes, at times, assurance in Christ. And not only this, not only so, Paul says, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have what? Yes, we joy in receiving the reconciliation. Yes, we rejoice in that.
Yes, sir.
But that just gives me peace to know that I'm one of those that's already been reconciled. God is not reconciling me because I'm living right. Because I can never live right enough to be reconciled.
Exactly.
If I ever get to that point where I think I have no sin, I've went too far.
That's it.
You know what I mean?
That's it.
That passage, I didn't quote it exactly like it said. What that passage when David says, He delights in mercy, not sacrifice. Right? Isn't that what it says?
Yes,
He delights in mercy.
Amen.
Not sacrifice. Now our God is merciful to some.
Yep.
He hardens everybody else.
Exactly.
See, the whole thing is he's not just hardening a few of these really bad folk out there. He's hardening everybody except for the elect.
True. Yeah.
See, that's the whole point. And our minds are set to where, well, boy, I can tell, boy, that person must be being hardened. Look at how they live. Some of the best people on this earth, God Almighty's hardened.
Yes, sir.
Some of the people who may be my best neighbors, who I could trust, Joe, to leave my doors and windows unlocked, and David, they wouldn't steal from me for nothing. And God Almighty still hardened them.
You're right.
And there's an old fellow down the road, he may break through the windows when the doors are locked.
Yeah.
Huh? And come in there and try to steal me blind, but if he's one of God's, bless God, he's in Christ.
That's it.
He's justified in God's sight. He's been reconciled to God. It's hard to fathom, but it's the truth. Father, I pray that as we partake of this table, that we do it in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not because of our righteousness. It's not because of how good we are. And our hope is not even based upon us walking in those good works which you before ordained that we walk in. Our hope is based upon the person of our Lord Jesus Christ alone. His sacrifice and his substitutionary death for us. As our beloved brother Paul said, we preach, our message is, that which we declare is Jesus Christ and him crucified. I ask in Christ's name, amen. All right, Joe and Roy Jr., would you come please?